40 chess. Yeah. 40 chess. Huh. 40 chess. Let's get it.
Yo, is that Tito?
40 chess. Huh. 40 chess. Hey. Forty chess, this a trade show. Patreon where the trades go. Tap in and watch, that's what you came for. Ain't gotta say my name, they know my name, bro.
What's good, man?
We got McNutted in ATM. Always start off the show with a trade from them. You should always make sure that your trade is in. Patreon, why not be a Patreon? Know you wish you could spend every day with them. Tap in and say what you gonna say with them. Stop harming, can fill up a stadium. Next time you log in, make sure that you bring a friend. We about to kick off, let the day begin. Go follow the socials. 40 chess FF is posted. If your trade is an F, you get roasted. Go like and subscribe for the crew. Apple, Spotify, and the YouTube. You know Cooper got the wall too. Let us give you a walkthrough. 40 chess. This is 40 chess.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back into the 40 Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. We are glad you are here today. Before we get started, just a reminder, if you want some dope stuff, Adam got drawings for merch, but you can only find that in the Patreon, patreon.com/South Harmon. Along with that comes everything else that you get with the Patreon, access to us all the time. You got different tiers. You can get your questions answered. For those of you who are watching the 40 Chess Podcast, that is a Patreon exclusive, so hopefully you enjoy that one. And not to mention the one that everyone wants, the trade channel. That way they can show off their trades. Most of the time we praise them, but there are a few select ones in there that we do eviscerate and roast on there. And if you want some signed stuff, signed shit, signedsh.it, make sure you go check that out. You can get some really dope memorabilia. And Adam, you talked on it. You got some jerseys. We've given away a few of them already, but certified shit, certifiedsh.it, Fanatics sponsorship. Those guys have some dope ass stuff over there. And listen, we were just talking after we got off the AMA last night about all the rivalry jerseys and actually some of them are pretty good. Listen, I will fight anyone who says the Patriots Nor'easter jerseys suck. All right. They look pretty good, especially the Drake May one.
Well, and the other thing too about in particular, I feel like I do like the 80s red alternate, with the old school Patriots logo. I like that jersey, but I feel like their newer jerseys are kind of plain and not that exciting anyway. So it's like, what are we arguing about here? It's not like they got some kind of crazy fire jerseys.
Sorry, I think people just like to complain. But, you know what I mean? Like old men yelling at clouds.
You'll definitely have that. And I do think, speaking of which, I think there's a lot of people complaining. Injuries, malperformances, malnutrition. I mean, we got appendicitis. We got all kinds of stuff, buddy. So what are we talking today?
We're going to talk warp. We're going to look back at this
year. When in doubt and when the screaming children are there, you got to talk warp. I love what I'm hearing.
As soon as I can find a good one that fits.
That is what she said. Nope. Wow.
They all suck.
None of these fit.
That's fine. You'll have to deal with this one. Smallest one I got. Adam, I pulled up the warp, so I keep, just in case anyone's wrong, I keep a spare league that I've labeled hit rate warp do not touch, because DB does some fantastic work for me as far as
dude, you gotta be looking careful back who in the you past. Show this, by the way, because that big do not delete in all caps, people might just want to delete it just because they see that, you know?
Well, you gotta go through me to get to it, all right? Ain't gonna happen. So, generic type league, this lineup league, they could start 10, you know, nothing crazy on the scoring, but we're gonna talk overarching warp for the season, right? Now, beauty of warp and the beauty of the warp tool that Kuba has made, right? Warp.life, go check that out, right? Go get it for yourself. Is it does customize to your individual league. So if you got some weird scoring settings, maybe you start 13, maybe you start 3 quarterbacks, maybe you start 6 tight ends. Maybe you're in an IDP league. Koopa has got you covered with the Warp tool. The only one out there that is this individualized with a Warp too. Yep. I hate to mention that to people. Regular Warp is fine, but it also operates under the assumption that everything is perfect and you never fuck up a lineup decision ever.
Well, there you go. A-Warp is designed for an extra, honestly, it gives an extra set of, an extra lens so that you can have an idea, especially in lineup leagues, the idea behind a warp is you only get the warp you capture in lineup, right?
Capture warp, baby.
In best ball, you know, hey, great. Any whoever pops off, it doesn't matter if you would never start them in lineup league. You get them on your roster as long as, you know, they make it your lineup. A warp, Mike is talking about captured warp, and that's huge for the lineup leagues.
Massive. And that's what we like to use. That's what we like to look at because it takes all that bullshit out, because there'll be a lot of people that show up on warp charts that, surprisingly, Adam, aren't even on people's rosters, even in 12-team or 14-team, 30, 35-man rosters, because they were doing it in the free agency pool. And then next week, what happens? Everyone runs out and tries to add them to their team, and then they give you a two-point week or barely play, right? So yep. We're talking about captured warp. Guys that were on people's rosters, guys that were started at certain percentiles. Adam, first off, listen, the listeners of this podcast aren't going to be able to say it, so we'll try to see it, so we'll try to articulate it the best possible. But when I pull up this year's warp graph, how we stand through 10 weeks, yeah. What is your first big takeaway? Then give me one. Keep it simple. Give me one. What's your biggest takeaway?
I mean, when I'm looking at this one, I mean, I could give you multiple. To me, Mike, I think it's the first big takeaway I have is that when I'm just looking at this, the quarterback in particular, even at the high end, to me, feels not what we are once used to or once thought of, you know, as far as what warp would typically deliver for difference makers. Because when you look at it, right, it's just, it's kind of sandwiched in between the wide receivers and the running backs right there, right? And sometimes it's even below the two.
You're not starting at a good spot when the best quarterback on the year is literally tied with the best tight end on the year, right? Like that is,
I wasn't going to get to the, you know, the creme de la creme.
That's not a great thing.
Now that either speaks really highly of the tight end or really poorly of the QB.
Now, we both subscribe to the A-Warp tight end life. Just find any tight end, right? And that still holds true. Nothing about that changes this graph, but to your point about the quarterbacks, Adam, that's where we're starting. That's the best of the best. The best quarterback is tied with the best tight end. Now, the rest of the line does heavily favor quarterbacks versus tight ends, right? But that's not a great place to start. Like, you fully expect, if you spent the draft capital, if you spent whatever it took to go get an elite, elite quarterback, and you nailed it this year, you got the number one guy. You hope he gives your team a hell of a lot more than the guy who got the best tight end. Right, like you're expecting that we're at least sniffing or competing with the best running back, or we're competing with right. The best wide receiver, and that ain't really the case. It's not even relatively close. For example, Jonathan Taylor up here at four warp, Adam.
Well,
having Jonathan Taylor on your team
this
year has netted you four wins in this generic league over just having a replacement running back, which, for definition, just so people keep up with us, that means RB24 or later, right? That's what we're looking at.
And one of the things I think there's a lot of layers to this and other talking points, but obviously, I think genuinely at this point, now granted, I'm not a warp calculator. I don't remember and have them all, you know, for all time. But I'd venture to say, Mike, where Jonathan Taylor's sitting this part of the year, I don't know that I care what you paid in a trade, in a draft. Like, the differential from him to not just running backs, but the field is crazy. We got to mute, I think. Or it's my headphones. I can't hear you.
I got you, buddy. Okay. It was me. But okay. The running back warp on Taylor, right, at 4.032. Right now, you got to fall off. Chris McCaffrey's having a hell of a year with usage.
Yeah.
3.8. That's pretty good. Achan. He's had a couple monster games, three. But then you get all the way down here, Adam. We're at running back five or running back four. Bijan Robinson, who's had a hell of a year. Now, not the last couple games because Tyler Algier's an asshole.
Right before the Dolphins game, which was, what was that, week
Holy
eight?
Hell.
They were on the same trajectory, Bijan and Taylor were. Now, look at it.
You're talking a game and a half difference between those two? Like, you would win a game and a half more in a fantasy football league through 10 weeks by having a Jonathan Taylor on your team versus a Bijan Robinson? That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, the other wild part is, to your point about Algier, there's really no reason to believe, outside of the things we won't mention, you know?
You don't want to wish ill will on him.
Well, no, but I'm saying outside of something like that, there's really no reason to believe this graph won't get further spread apart.
More spread apart, yeah. Crazy. We're spreading cheeks around here, buddy.
It's getting, yeah, we're spreading sheets, as T-Rock likes to do.
Spreading those sheets. Yeah, that is nuts how crazy Jonathan Taylor is. Here, just for reference, too, let me look at the recommended data, which is going to take 2019 through 2024 AWARP, right? So we're going to take all the seasons. We're going to take all the seasons. We're going to have
this. I've already kind of had a glimpse at. And this is where it's really interesting, Mike, because if you look at it, right, when it comes up, six is roughly the top, okay?
Oh, so, my, 5.77.
Well, Mike, just think about this, right? So if you're telling me that 5.77 on an average year is what the running back one gives you, we're 10 weeks in? I mean,
we got seven more to go? Is my math right, or is it eight?
Yeah, it's
11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. 7 weeks.
I was going to say.
My math is
abacus.
Math.
I'll let you do the abacus. But
you like that? I had to use my fingers.
Dude, there's a chance that there's a chance he doesn't smash this, but there also is a chance. There's absolutely a chance that he does. I mean,
I'm going to head right back, and we're going to look at AWARP per game. And he's almost at 0.5, Adam, mm-hmm. a half a game every single week.
Yep.
Now, can that continue? He just came off of 233 yards, whatever it was, a monster fucking game. 50 points in most scoring formats, 60, mm-hmm. 70 in some of our crazier ones, 80 in like the Fizzle Dollars. It's a ton of leagues where he has a ridiculous running back scoring.
Literally, Joe, generic PPR, he went for 49.6.
Easily.
That's a 50 burger, legit.
I mean, we're not going to have every week like that, so that does factor in. But even if I told you it was 0.35, Adam, like
0.35. In case you wanted to know, Garrett Wilson's on IR, so that's fun.
Yay. But if I told you it was like 0.35 or 0.4, let's just go with 0.4 for the 7 more weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2.8 warp, Adam. End total from 4 leaves you with what? 6.8. That's pretty fucking high, buddy. That's pretty high for, you know, the number one finisher that we have historically on average is what, 5.9, 5.8? That's crazy.
It is.
That's crazy. He's smashing the shit out of some historic stuff here.
Right. Well, wow. And I mean, especially when you look at the, I think that the graph kind of gives you the story, at least in my opinion, where the rest of the field at the running back position, I'm not saying they're not some good guys, right? Like James Cook has certainly had some weeks. So is Jacobs. Honestly, Javonte Williams probably in that range. He's playing very well. So Gibbs,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
But I think on a from a consistent basis, the Taylor has been so consistent and so high end as far as scoring goes that's the reason he's shot up so far. It's what he's given you relative to anyone else on a weekly basis is crazy, man. Now, here's what I kind of wanted to get into when we go to the some of the parts, unless you had something else to touch on. I wanted to get back to the quarterback conversation, honestly.
Yeah. All right. We'll circle back to the running backs, because I'm sure we're going to talk about them a lot. We're going to have some observations as far as buys and, you know, some dynasty values and maybe some sells too that we're going to get into. But yeah, let's just talk about the quarterbacks. We'll kind of take some of this stuff off the screen and just let's look at this quarterback line.
Well, I mean, this doesn't look as bad because there's nothing relative to it to see, you know. This one just looks kind of pure. Well, there's a few that are very interesting to me. Obviously, we know the narratives around certain players, but Mahomes, who we have sworn for the last 2 years being jaded, that it's dead. Cooked.
Yeah.
Not the case.
Nope.
But, I mean, if you had Daniel Jones, man, What found money is that, dude? Honestly,
I mean, Drake May is having he's in the MVP consideration, right? With the season that he's having, and opening people's eyes, rising up dynasty ranks. You know, we're talking about a potential top three, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right on his heels, Daniel Jones having basically the same season as far as warp is concerned.
I mean, well, and this is where I think some of these players that you'll find through here. Now, this happens every year, but Stafford would stick out as well to me.
1.99.
Yep. I think Dak Prescott is in that range.
1.7.
And the reason I'm talking about these guys, so Jackson Dart probably as well.
1.469.
Sam Darnold. Now, that's probably end of list, honestly. But the reason I wanted to bring those ones up, So how many did I name right there? Just let's go back through those. Because that was how many quarterbacks? What number is Sam Darnold in WARP? 17?
Sammy Darnold, 19. QB, okay. 19.
All right. So of the 19 quarterbacks that, you know, we're looking at over one here. Darnold, one. Dart, two. Daniel Jones, three. Dak Prescott, four. Stafford, five. And then who was the other one? Oh, Flacco, actually, is in that mix.
Joey Flacco, right? Well, QB2. So,
is that six?
Yep, there's six.
So basically one, those type of hits, right? So six out of basically, let's call it a third of the quarterbacks. A third of these quarterbacks you could have waited on in the top 18.
And didn't have to pay shit for.
And that, I think, really convolutes, or I shouldn't say convolutes, it accentuates, makes it worse where it's like, damn, right now, you could have a Mahomes and a Josh Allen, and you feel pretty good about it. But it's not like in years past where if you had, let's say, Lamar's top year and Josh Allen's top year in years past, you're like, I don't care what the rest of my skill players do. This isn't necessarily to the whole conversation winning you, even having that. But then there's a scenario where somebody who invested in skill players earlier has actually, you know, the cheat code because they have some of these players that are –
because they've smashed them hard.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where I think this year feels like I'm curious to see. But this, combined with what the market was already kind of, you know, giving us in the offseason, plus this, it's like, man, hopefully the quarterbacks finish really strong. I have plenty of these guys that are really highly valued and would love to see better warp. But I'm kind of really curious to see what the market does in the offseason. Because if this, let's just say hypothetically, Mike, this finishes out roughly what we're seeing. And really, the quarterbacks aren't the position that's winning people titles in fantasy. We might go to a place we've never thought possible in Superflex as far as, you know, what the first round looks like.
All right. So, would you give me six in the top 18? I got 2024 pulled up here on how they finished in WARP. One of the cool things, too, about our tool, you can go back and look at different years.
Any year.
Just go back and look. But all right, so you gave me six. Let's just kind of take a trip down memory lane for last year. Guys that we probably didn't pay much for last year, how many of those guys finished in the top 18? You know, Baker. That's pretty good. Baker Mayfield would be a pretty good one. That's a nice start. Jared Goff.
Well, I think we have to count Goff this year because he's pretty much the same cost as he was last year, I think.
Yeah. Sam Darnold
is, yep, both years, yep.
So we got repeat two. Defender on this list. Bo Nix. Yep.
Bo Nix would count. Yep. Three.
Geno,
four. Yeah. I'll give you that.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. We'll give you five.
I think it.
Yeah. I mean, similar, but the difference here is, Mike, I think.
Look at the steep disc.
That's what I was going to say. How many are really like. The line was more flat this year. So it's
way
basically
flat.
Having six in the top 12, 15, 18, whatever it is really keeping serve with even the top guys. Basically, if you had Lamar last year, who else is that right there? In that upper quadrant, basically you had Lamar, Baker, Jaden, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. You're smashing people. Like
killing them.
Yes. So that's where, while there are six guys in the top 18, there probably will be like that every year. It's the difference of what they're giving you versus the elite guy that costs an arm and a leg.
And I just threw up the running back overlay on WARP, put that back on for last year too. And, you know, like they're holding serve with the top running backs.
Look at that red line now where it's one, Lamar is better than everybody, but two, basically if you're in the, there's roughly six quarterbacks and six running backs in the upper quadrant. It's not some crazy, you know, running back runaway like it is right now.
This has been a terrible year for quarterbacks.
Which is really crazy considering last year it started so poorly. Like last year it started off on this trajectory, but it completely changed because quarterbacks crushed it at the second half of the year.
Do you think there's any hope? I mean, because, you know, as far as NFL season, we're just over the halfway point of the NFL season. We're fast approaching fantasy playoff time for us, but we have to remember we're getting into playoff pushes now for NFL teams. Like the playoff picture is becoming more clear. They have 8 weeks to go, right? There's math. I didn't need my fingers for that one. They got 8 weeks to go. Eight more games for most of these teams. Some of them only got seven because they got a bye week or something coming up. But Do you think there's any hope for them turning around? It has been so fucking pedestrian that I can't even really see it coming, to be honest. Because every single week we sit here and we do recap, and how many weeks, Adam? I mean, you look back. We've got 10 recap shows now. How many weeks have you put a quarterback on the fucking thumbnail?
I don't know if it has been one.
There you go.
One, maybe one. I got to go back. I'm going to go back and look just to see. But I here's the thing. I can tell you if it tops, it's one. Because there's been – here's another great point. Jonathan Taylor right now in Superflex, you know, even really solid, just regular quarterback scoring, number one asset overall. Not forget Warp for a second, just like points scored. Yep. So it's like on a weekly basis, there's some guy that's giving you 25, 30, which is typically about what a quarterback's scoring. So it's like, how do we put a quarterback up when, you know, Rico Dowdle just went for 35? You
exactly.
Know?
Like, It's tough. I would venture to say maybe one, but that's where we're setting the over.
I'm gonna take a peek here just to see. So, but let me ask you, Mike, what is your immediate thoughts or takeaway when you're diving into this? I'm not going to say it's impossible. It definitely is. I didn't think it was going to turn around last year. But I will say it feels worse this year is that, honestly, the other thing is, too, you got Lamar with a knee injury. You've got Jalen Hurts feeling like this offense is just so sluggish. You got Saquon. Some of the elite, Jaden Daniels is hurt. A lot of these elite rushing quarterbacks just don't have the same situation, it feels like, too.
No, it feels like all the ones that we would expect to have the explosions, right? Joe Burrow's hurt.
Hence, right? A la Patrick Mahomes, probably not all that much different than just what he normally puts together season-wise, is just sitting there at the top.
It's probably the same shit, but we just look at quarterback finish relative to the field, and he just, okay, he's 3, or he's 4 this week, or he had a QB 1 week, but it's not that great. Like, when Warp tells you that he's up there, it's nice.
Justin Fields splits week one with a Mecca Buka. That's the best I can give you.
That was the best. That's the only one. Very first
Justin
week.
Justin Fields had a horrendous season, and he's the only quarterback that's made the
good lord. Run. Good lord. Drake May has had a tremendous season. Patrick Mahomes has had moments. Matt Stafford's in the MVP conversation, for fuck's sake.
Probably can't the frontrunner right now. Yeah.
Can't even get sniff a thumbnail around
here. Well, that's the other thing. When Stafford has a great game, either Puka or Adams is catching 3 touchdowns. So
That's true. I would say this. I think there's a chance maybe we see a run from quarterbacks, but it's going to have to be something historic to even salvage this for most of the year, right? Like, when we look at this for dynasty takeaways from this season, this is going to be a bad quarterback here, a real bad quarterback here. Now, unless Lamar goes on some historic fucking run or Josh Allen turns it on, we're down some heavy hitters. Like, you mentioned Jalen Hurts in this offense. I don't think there's a lot of hope for Jalen Hurts just having this big explosion in the second half. I don't think it's going to change. We don't have a Joe Burrow.
He probably doesn't have enough time, even when he comes back. Right?
We don't have a Joe Burrow to do what Joe Flacco's doing, but with Joe Burrow, you know. Like, Flacco has done some great things this year, right? And he's had some games that have been monsters.
Let's put
but
some
it's
damn
also,
respect on his name. He's third in Warp, for God's sakes.
But could you imagine what Joe Burrow could do?
You know what's? I would imagine, to your point, I'm not here to argue that Flacco would be doing better than Burrow. Of course, I think Burrow would probably, hopefully, be doing more. But yeah, Burrow could probably be the number one quarterback, definitely, easily, right? But I don't know. I mean, Burrow might also just kind of give you the same numbers. Flacco's numbers, as far as like Warp and just stats, are crazy. He has, people may not even know this. He's had his career yardage total this year. Guy played how many years?
Right.
400 yards.
I'm just looking at points per game.
The other thing I was going to say is that's the other reason why I say I don't think so, Mike, because the for quarterback Warp to change, we would need guys to finish kind of consistently throughout the year here ahead of the rest of the quarterbacks. I can't project that at all.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. No, just for example, Joe Flacco, the last time we saw him, you know, versus Chicago, 32.7 fantasy points, you know, his best showing on the season. Now, he's up there in Warp, but his other games, 18, 26, 24, pretty good weeks, right? And it keeps him up there. Joe Burrow, last year when he was doing some of the stuff that he was doing to get up there, you know, 34.8, 30, 33.7, 29, 37, 37 point week in the championship week, by the way.
But also, I hear you, but also like this year and last year, if you looked across fantasy points per game, it's probably indicative of last year. There was, I'm not saying, again, I'm not arguing that Burrow and Flacco are the same. I would think Burrow right. definitely does better than Flacco, but this year you don't see Burrow. I mean, even Stafford right now, you don't see anybody going 30, 30, 30 all the time. Even Dak, who we thought was going to have a great year and is set up for that, has had plenty of like really stinkers this year.
Yeah, some pretty turd burgers. I think talking about it with you too, like I don't see, I guess I don't really see the scenario because we're down, you know, I brought up Joe Burrow just because we're down a heavy hitter, right? We're down that heavy. We're down Jaden Daniels. He could be a heavy hitter as he was there for last year. I mean, that's a 30 point plus threat because of what he does with his legs. Right. Jalen Hurts offense just doesn't feel like we're going to get a 30 burger out of him anytime soon. There's something feels fundamentally wrong with what the Bills are doing. They're losing games to teams that they shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like Josh Allen has that 30 point explosion. The ones that we're relying on, I guess like maybe a Dak, Joe Flacco, Matt Stafford, for example, like they just don't carry the rushing upside in order to have multiple 30 point games to like mm-hmm. really buoy this up and compete with what, you know, a Jonathan Taylor, a Bijan, a Gibbs, a Christian McCaffrey are doing week in and week out. I just think being down so many heavy hitters, or it feels like you said, the ones that we should expect it. Lamar's got the bum knee. Like it feels like that puts a cap on his point scoring season. Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts that I mentioned. It just feels like the ones that we do have still left are capped. Like it just feels gross.
So I was trying, you know, I was trying to get us going there. I was waiting for this kind of topic because Mike, here's the truth of the matter, right? You brought up the Stafford stuff. I hadn't really, you know, I haven't done a lot of digging on this because it's, you know, it's literally live time and we just discussed doing this today. But one of the things I was thinking about, and as we're kind of talking here, I looked up and you just talked about how the rushing quarterbacks that we thought would do well are not per se. But here's the crazy part. Mike, if you had to guess right now, who's leading the NFL in rushing yards as a quarterback?
As a quarterback? I'm going to go with, Jackson Dart.
He is second.
Damn. All right.
But that's going to be, it's more to the point I'm making here.
Okay, Drake May then?
Drake May, no. Drake May is actually
down there. Fuck.
Let's see. He's not that far down. Six. Sorry, I just skipped him. But
okay.
Now, let's just say you have Dart at two and you have May at six. You got those points. Now, let's try to put numbers to them. We're 10 games in. What would you guess their rushing stats are at the moment?
Jackson Dart maybe 450 at two.
Yep, minus a lot.
Minus a lot?
He's at 317.
Jesus.
One of four quarterbacks at the moment, barely sniffing over 300 yards for the record.
Damn. Man, we are way down in rushing.
Well, way down. And then you have Drake May's at 283. But here's what's crazy. Jalen Hurts, ninth in rushing. Lamar, 10th in rushing. So basically, by the way, Herbert's the answer to number one. He's at 324.
Justin Herbert. It would take me a while to guess that one.
Justin Fields, third, shocking to many. I'm sure that he's has, you know, but all the numbers, Mike, are very tightly scrunched together. And as far as pace goes, I mean, sheesh, I'll do the math just to be exact here, but I don't think we're not even at a quarterback probably on pace to get to. Maybe not even 600 yards. Barely get there.
Damn.
Think about that.
600 yards. Like, that's a struggle.
But we're hoping because that we're 10 games in. We only got 17, right?
Yeah.
So 324. 10. 32.4 yards per game is what Justin Herbert has right now at the moment.
34 yards per game. Damn. Yeah,
32 points. Oh, wait. Actually, no. Has Herbert had his bye? Let me just check that. Fact check that. Maybe he has. So that would be that divided by
nine. He has not. He's played all 10 games.
So there you go. So he's at 32.4. But the point is, I guess, here's if you did a 17-game pace, I mean, he's on pace for 550 right now.
Who led it last year? Lamar?
I'm almost positive. He was unbelievable last year. Let me just pull it up. That would be my answer if you told me I had to guess. Here we go. So, yeah, Lamar, by the way, Lamar ran last year for 915. Jaden Daniels, 891. And then you had Jalen Hurts at 630, but he had all the touchdowns. Josh Allen, 531. So, you know, Josh Allen's still probably in. Jalen Hurts are not necessarily all that far off from their rushing yards, but we don't have some rushing yard total that's going much from the pack. And I think both Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen, if I'm not mistaken, partly because James Cook's ascension in Buffalo.
Yep.
And just the offense not being all that potent as much as we would hope for Philly, their touchdown numbers aren't gaudy this year.
No, they're not.
Jalen Hurts had two rushing touchdowns to start the year, and since has only had three.
Damn.
He had two game one, so he's got a total of five. He's got five rushing touchdowns. Josh Allen has what?
Lamar averaged 54 yards per game rushing last year, just for reference. And you're talking about Herbert at 20 yards.
Josh Allen he has had two rushing touchdowns in two of the last three games, but he's at 6-7.
We act like 2 points per game.
You catch really that? Matter. I didn't even mean to do that. 6-7. I love that.
Oh, Jesus. Damn it.
I didn't even mean to, but that's awesome. Sorry, go ahead.
But 2 points per game just from rushing difference between who's leading in rushing yards per game this year and who was leading in rushing yards per game last year. That 2 points is a big fucking deal week in and week out every single week. Sometimes I'm lucky if I get 2 points for my tight end position.
Well, here's the thing, though. If you take out those rushing numbers, it basically, I think what you see this the story here. That's Stafford throwing the ball well, Mahomes throwing the ball well. All of a sudden, they can be towards the top tier because there's no rushing element to separate the pack. And it also makes everybody else really bunch together, which with guys like Jaxson Dart coming in here, and they're showing that, you know, Jaxson Dart can run. You see Caleb Williams can run. You see, here's my biggest thing. Mike, we've talked about this for a while. And basically, when you would talk about any quarterback, I'm not saying you personally, I'm saying when any of us would talk about any quarterback coming in, right, as a prospect, Penix could even be one. I mean, all these quarterbacks, we could say, yeah, they have the ability to rush, right? They kind of have the ability to run. They're athletic. What if instead of the old threshold, which is, what was it, Mike, 40 yards a game, basically, would get you sorry, you're muted.
Yeah, right around 40 yards per game.
Right around 40 yards per game is basically going to give you like a leg up on the competition. What if the new wave, because they all kind of can run, makes it convoluted where it's not, and there's no separation.
Yeah. Who do we got? Just, I want to look at quarterbacks just in warp, right? Joe Flacco being up here.
Joe Flacco definitely can't run.
Definitely can't run. What's his rushing yard, do you think, for the year for Joe Flacco?
He probably is about zero because he takes them out a lot of knees too. Give me, I don't know, 20 yards.
Man, I'm looking to see if I can even find him on this fucking list, Adam. I can't.
I'll pull it up just to get the old Joey.
Man. Okay. So we still do have some outliers.
Joe, by the way, that was a great guess. 29 rushing yards for the kid.
29 rushing yards.
Sorry, what were you going to say? What are the outliers?
All right. So your outliers, right? If we're just looking at top 18 as far as convoluted, let's put the cutoff there. So when I look at top 18, we're looking at, you know, we'll go top 19. So we can put Darnold in there. Darnold, Fields, Mac Jones, Jordan Love, Jared Goff, Jaxson Dart, Lamar, Baker, Dak, Bo Nix, Matt Stafford, Caleb. Okay. Kind of got the idea. All right. So those quarterbacks in the top, let's look at them, right? Herbert's in the top. He can rush. I want to find the ones who can't.
Okay. Mahomes honestly can give you, you know, 400 or 500.
Sam Darnold, right? There's your first one. He's got 39 rushing yards on the season.
I was going to say, even as a scrambler, he's never going to rush, no.
Jared Goff, Joe Flacco. There's three out of the top 18.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Jones, 64 yards.
Sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess the other thing, too, like Mac Jones and Joe Flacco feel like sub-ins, but yeah, they definitely for now would be guys that definitely can't run.
Dak Prescott, Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones can run.
But he hasn't. 143 yards total on the season.
I get that. I mean,
that's 14 yards a game. No,
I get that. I'm not saying they all have to rush. I'm saying that these guys all have the ability to.
And
that's where I think that conversation when we say, oh, this guy could come in and be not a Konami guy, but someone that gives you that rushing floor. Even at 143, which is pretty rough for him, that's, you know, it's almost 300 rushing yards for the year. Which right now, go ahead. I'm listening.
Yeah, Baker is the same kind of thing because he's at 150.
Baker's not. Well, there you go. Baker honestly is rushing for the same number of yards as Daniel Jones, to your point. But even like, think about this. Bo Nix and Lamar Jackson, while you say that, they're at, now Lamar's missed time, 216, but Bo Nix is only at 205.
Yep. Real close. Kind of interesting to think about, right? Rushing across the board, right, even from the elite guys that we thought is down, right? But even the guys that, you know, kind of like you said, you know, Daniel Jones can run. He can. He just hasn't this year. Like, he's just not. Baker can scramble. Like, he can put up some.
If you've watched their games, there's been times where nothing's there, and he's had no choice but to put his head down and try to get a run. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we're looking at 158 yards. You know, if you say he's played all 10 games, that's 15.
But that's the crazy part, Mike. Even if you say Daniel Jones isn't running, Mike, there's legitimately 11 quarterbacks over 200 rushing yards right now.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's, you know, getting gashed by the field.
Man, I think for me, like, my probably biggest takeaway is just your elite guys that we relied on rushing production, right, to be the ones who separate them from the field. That old YouTube video that I did where I looked at how elite quarterbacks score.
Right.
It's not holding up this year at all because the elite guys aren't doing it and the ones that can aren't doing it. Right. And the whole field is just jumbled and bunched together. So you get no real warp difference makers too, because even the guys that we have the possibility of having elite passing seasons, like the outliers, the Joe Burrows of the world, who can throw for 4,500 and, you know, damn near 50 touchdowns. Yeah. Right.
Right.
Those guys are either hurt or they're not doing the passing numbers either. So we just have this giant mess of it's really becoming a who gives a fuck at quarterback, right? As long as I can just hit a Sam Darnold or a Daniel Jones, I can get by. And you guys go out and pay for the Josh Allens and the Jalen Hurts and the J Days of the world. And I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm holding serve.
That's exactly the problem. If you don't have the Konami guys, why wouldn't you just get a cheap option?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no point.
Because honestly, that doesn't even factor in cost yet. But, you know, why wouldn't you just take the cheaper option, let alone what the cheap options can be? Now, I'm actually going through and just trying to tally up some of these, because I think this is where, from a point standpoint, or what the point I'm making really makes it crazy. Because, like, I'm thinking about this right now, and I'm just going through. Guys that have given us multiple 50-yard rushes in a game, dude, there's more than you would think here. I mean, Jackson Dart has done it, for the record. 1, 2, 3. He's run for over 50 in 5 games, Jackson Dart has. Caleb Williams done it in 3. And, like, these aren't necessarily guys that we thought they could scramble, but we weren't thinking these guys could come in here and, you know, you go over 50 rushing yards in this current landscape, that can give you, you know, top 5 finish easy.
Right. Caleb is an interesting one too, because we brought him up on recap, kind of talking about him. Just the consistency of his rushing though is just not good, because like you said, he does got 3 games over 50.
Yeah.
But he also has 2 games on his resume with -2 each.
Well, you know what's kind of interesting, and this could end up being an anomaly, or there could be something here. There's a point here in the middle. So there's 4 games around the bye, right? 12, 13, -2, -2. But to start the season and of late, he's been running a lot more. Now, the attempts aren't very high, so I think there's a lot of times he's going to scramble. But I think across the board, you're looking at 5. Yeah, you're looking at 5 games where he's been, you know, north of 20. And then the other ones are, like, completely, to your point, non-existent. I mean, 2 of those games, he literally were negative rushing yards, so he probably took kneels.
Just at the end of the game, yeah. Or at the end of a half.
Right. I guess anyway, my takeaway here at the quarterback position, Mike, is if the cost dips a lot, there's only a handful of guys I'm probably interested in, and that's buying into the Konami guys that might dip some. If the quarterback market drops even further this offseason than what we thought, than what it was last year. Because honestly, let me ask you this. I think going into this offseason, it felt like the quarterback values were pushed down more than they've really been in recent memory in Superflex too, right?
Right. Yep.
So with this data, and unless they have a second half, you know, surge from some of these guys that are elite rushers. I mean, dude, just I think here's a good example when you go to KTC that shows this warp data in the vacuum here. Mike, so we're looking at right now, when you look at the top 12 assets, you got Lamar at 7, Josh Allen at 2, Drake May at 4. So you got 3 of the top 12 quarterbacks. You've got then, and you go from the second round essentially, so it would be J-Day's at 16. Obviously the injury hurts here, but 17 is Mahomes, 19 Herbert, 20 Jalen Hurts. What a fall for him. And that would be it in the top 2 rounds. That feels insane. That's not a startup. I mean, obviously that could change. Right. But I'm just saying, just to think about, that's what people are telling you right now. I think it really shows you that the people that are mattering in points per game and warp are skill players. That it's already like the market wanted to go that way, and now they're being able to. And this, I think, is the final tell. The fact that Jackson Dart is quarterback 9 and 26 asset overall just shows how insanely devalued I think the quarterback is. Because not that he's not playing well, but to think about that is nuts right now. I mean, he's played nice, don't get me wrong, but that's insane.
So trying to 4D this one, right, and put a bow on the whole quarterback thing.
Yep.
For me, Adam, and I'll see if you agree with this, I think the play is, if I'm any type of contending roster right now, contending team, and I got a Lamar, Josh Allen, Drake May is going to be in that conversation, Justin Herbert with what he's doing, Jalen Hurts, those kind of guys.
Yep.
I think the 4D play is to see if I can come down off of those guys for a Stafford, a Prescott, a fucking Joe Flacco, a Sam Darnold, a Daniel Jones, right? And try to get into one of these skill position guys that are killing it, like absolutely killing it. And I think I let the rest of the year play out, right? I let the rest of the year go. Like, hey, I came off of my perceived, my priors on quarterback values, but I'm getting into something that's going to help me warp per game, the whole thing. But the long form of that is after this year, right? When we have all that time to reflect and we get into rookie season and the vets become out of sight and out of mind, and even they're going to get devalued regardless, right? We're going to be talking about rookies and you're going to get that slight bump or slight bump down.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the time then next offseason, Adam, when the quarterback market's going to be at its lowest, the elite, the Konami guys are going to be at their lowest. Do you try to buy back in then? Right?
Well,
Do you sell now while we still have this kind of bump because they still have that name cachet and not everyone's going to catch on to it, and try to get something that's going to help you win this year and try to get money, and then go, all right, we're in the off season. Nobody's talking about vets. Everybody's talking about how bad the quarterbacks were this year and how bad the seasons was, and we're going to see the repercussions in startup drafts and keep trade cut value and the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now do I try to get back in? Do I hedge my bet and go, I think we're going to have a rebound next year, or we're going to have running quarterbacks, especially the Konami ones, get back to doing what they were doing?
Yeah, I think I think definitely to the second part. I think, yes, I definitely think that if the market continues to like show this, and in the offseason, I think it probably will. Now, we'll see if the elite ones really take much of a dip. But yeah, I think I'm probably in the offseason considering it for the guys that I think have bounced back Konami code upside. What I will say is, as well, Mike, I'm thinking about this here, and I'm like, okay, I want to go see, and let's go over to the lab and just kind of look at some trades here, because I'm kind of wondering, realistically, you know, what even that would net you at the moment. I'm in a couple teams. I have a couple leagues where I have like a mini quarterback or a full quarterback board going.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm telling you, what I'm getting nibbles on, I would literally, I'm scoffing at. Like, it's almost like people, like, for example, I got Jordan Love. People could care less. They're valuing him in the, you know, skill player, like, basically flex range.
Right.
And that's where it's like, I don't even know. Now, Jalen Hurts is obviously different of these elite guys as far as their perceived value. But I'm just curious, like, right now, Stafford, who else? I'm going to do a couple searches here. Stafford, who else would you think would be a good tear down candidate if you wanted to try this idea?
Dak Prescott's been one of our favorites for a long time. Dak's great, you know?
Yeah. So, he, dude, look at this. This is crazy to think about. Would you rather have Stafford and JSN or Jalen Hurts and Garrett Wilson?
Stafford and JSN?
I think so too. But it's
and if you would have told me that, you know, fucking 5-6 weeks ago, I would have been like, God, dude, come on, man. Jalen Hurts is the best asset in that deal.
And there's also a second, I was going to not even talk about it. There's also a second on the Jalen Hurts side, which I probably don't care that much about, but it's just think about that though for a second. You're going from wide receiver 15, 16. Now, granted, on IR, going to be taking a dip. I bet you that's not around anymore because he just went to IR. But the point is, you're getting a big upgrade at JSN, but man, it feels like a significant fall dynasty value wise from Jalen Hurts. Just kind of eye opening to me. Let's go to Dak.
We can look at the warp for both of them through 10 weeks.
Yeah. Right?
What we have. Jalen Hurts, 2.1. Matt Stafford, 1.92. I mean, 0.2 if we're being generous. Difference between the two. Garrett Wilson, your upgrade that you're getting, 1.393.
Definitely huge.
To JSN, 2.9.
Yeah. I mean, certainly in warp, you're obviously money killing ahead. It. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Would you take a single first and 26 late in Dak for Jalen Hurts right now?
I think you have to. I think I want that pick.
I mean, I probably agree. It's just think about that for a second. We're talking about this year, a sixth overall startup pick.
Yep.
We're going to get a late first, which probably is going to be an eighth round. We're talking about like an eighth round probably startup pick as an asset. And a six-round startup pick. I'm just saying, I'm not saying that I disagree. I would probably consider it. But the thought process is, holy shit.
How much
what happened
changed
to all this value? Yeah.
10 weeks.
Here's another one.
And so what I'm proposing
this one's
Adam.
Crazy. This one's crazy, by the way. Just to show you how sometimes it's not that easy. Jalen Noel and Dak Prescott for Jalen Hurts. Get the fuck out of here.
Jalen Noel? Dak Prescott for Jalen Hurts? Oh, I don't know if I could do that one.
There's no chance. Absolutely.
No way
not
on that one.
Dak Prescott, Michael Mayer, and a third. Like, sometimes I'm telling you, it's not worth it. Now, so I guess here's what I would say. If I can net out legitimate dynasty value, a first, if I can get a significant upgrade at a skill position from Garrett Wilson to JSN, yes. Those are something I would consider moving off of the elite quarterback. And then with the idea of maybe I don't get Jalen Hurts exactly back because it's too obvious, but maybe I can go find a way to get a Lamar or someone that I think has dipped in value that might give me a boost. And also, Mike, maybe I have to play next year in the market of, okay, I hope these quarterbacks kind of keep in the same range because I'm pot committing to trying to win right now.
Again, yeah, I don't hate that one. What if you're on the rebuilding side and you have these elite assets, right? Because
it's a great question. Would you consider, like, for example, if you're a rebuilder, is it even worth fooling around with trying to get Jalen Hurts' upside by sending away a first right now? Like, doesn't that feel?
It does kind of feel antithetical to what you're trying to do. I'm trying to keep the points off my team.
That's where that first to me is nice because I still, if my trade deadline has a few weeks, I get that first. I get Dak. It probably has a chance to be competitive as far as points, both of them. Like, that's a win. But if I'm a rebuilder, it just feels like a hefty bet on a quarterback like Hurts. I'm not saying you can't pull it off. Like, maybe if it was Jaden Daniels, people would feel a lot better about it. But, you know. I guess that's the point is it worth betting on that?
And I would say if I'm a rebuilder too, like I don't have any, it sucks to say, man, but like we're having a real conversation, like you said, with the first, like somebody was like, hey, I want your first for Jalen Hurts. You know, I don't really feel like if I got multiple firsts, you know what I mean? And I can give them a late first, a mid to late first, single one for Jalen Hurts, fuck it. I'll put the points on my team and fuck up, you know, my rebuild or tank to the 101 easily because it's so good. But if you're talking like, hey, listen, you're sitting at 103 right now. Give me your 103 for Jalen Hurts. I think I'd tell people to fuck off. Go kick rocks. And then we'll talk about it after the season's over with. You know what I mean? After the season. Then maybe I want to make that bet. Maybe I want to make that bet on a Jalen Hurts rebound and the points and go like, man, I think rushing Konami quarterbacks are at their lowest. This seems like a cheap price to pay for them, the 103 or the 104 or whatever it is for Jalen Hurts. I'll go ahead and do it then. But I have no in season right now. I have no ambition to do something like that, even though if you were to ask us that in fucking August, Adam, like, hey, I got the 103. you know, this locked in 103 pick, somebody wants to send me Jalen Hurts for it, I'd be like, why haven't you hit the button yet? Like, why haven't you hit accept? This is so stupid and easy. But
right.
With the way the quarterback market is, I think it's going to get worse. I think it's going to get a lot worse.
And then here's my other question, which realistically this has been happening for the last few years. I think it's not everyone's been playing into the strategy like optimally or like by design, let me say, early on. But I think because you were forced into a situation where you had to start streaming quarterback and you just got away with it, then all of a sudden your mind starts saying, oh, maybe I could get away with that again. Or you get in a position where it costs too much to get the premium ones. Here's the really interesting part when you think about this, Micah. I'm going to start with Jackson Dart at quarterback 14, right? Just think about this. Jackson Dart in the early part and during the start of the year when Russell Wilson was playing, incredibly acquirable, right? That's a young player. But then you go up, you got Daniel Jones. I mean, there was a month at minimum, if not even still right now, you have a buy window because people just don't believe. You have, who was it? Stafford, obviously very cheap. Dak Prescott attainable, but, you know, would cost you something. My point, and then you got Flacco here. My point is that, is it also potentially something to just get your head around embracing change at the way that we value the position? Similar to, not saying it's all the way this way, but hey, I could actually find a way to, you know, obviously you want to roster construct around the running backs and the quarterbacks, but if I only have one really good one or one that I feel comfortable with, I can find a way to, you know, not even send a first for some of these players and kind of patchwork my quarterback room together across the year. It won't feel the greatest, but it's really no different than other positions, especially if this is the warp line we're looking at.
I think last year was kind of the eye opener for me. Like, I ate a lot of shit on the quarterback because they were relatively down. Now, not.
But they did bounce back and win leagues in the second half for sure.
Not near as bad as what we've seen this year. Like it wasn't, oh my God, this year is nuclear. I really want to stick to my guns and go, listen, I'm banking on a big bounce back, and that's kind of where I want to place my chips at them. But listen, I think for the smarter, savvier dynasty managers, like yourself, like you're bringing on, I think if you start to embrace this, I think you can get away with it. I think you can. And I think even if we do have a bounce back next year, you'll still be able to get away with it. You just have to pick and choose your spots a little bit better, right? Like, you have to, when you do this kind of thing, we talk about the pick liquidity is going to be so fucking massive, because some people will do this, but then they'll pigeonhole themselves into, I have a Josh Allen, and like you said, my second quarterback, I'm going to kind of go with the flow and fill it. But then when we do a roster review or something on them, or we get a question on the AMA, it's like, what do you have for draft picks? What do you got for liquidity? What do you have for young assets that would be enticing to, you know, the entirety of your league? And it's next to nothing. Like, they're really just praying to God that they can get Joe Flacco off of waivers.
Well, and I'm saying, though, like, I think there's a conversation where throughout the year, as gross as it feels, you can probably acquire quarterbacks all the time that don't cost you a first. You don't have to invest long term, right?
I'm not even saying having the first, but we'll have guys who, you know, have already traded away their seconds and their thirds, right? And then they don't have any kind of assets on their team whatsoever, you know. And then they suffer, like, they roster construct with this perfect August lineup, I like to call it, right? Like, oh, look at how top, you know, my only weakness is my QB2-3, you know, I got a couple guys in here. But if they don't pan out, it's like, what's your fallback? You have to tap in now to this perfect August lineup that you had, which is bound anyways, just through injuries like we've seen this season and poor play and ups and downs, to the perfect August lineup. By the time we hit October, sometimes looks like absolute shit, right?
Sure.
Like,
yeah, I mean,
like, all of a sudden it looks like the 101, for fuck's sake, just because you've lost so much stuff. But you have to start tapping into that market. I think if you do the roster construction correctly, though, and I got extra thirds, or I got extra fab, I got extra, I got RJ Harvey's or Travion Henderson's, where even if they start low, there's still going to be a market for them that I can come off of to, you know, it's not going to be a great quarterback, but I can get to the Daniel Joneses, I can get to the Matt Staffords, the ones that people devalue. I caution people to go in with that mindset, but not understand that the back end of the roster or their draft picks, not just your first, but your seconds, your thirds, your fab budget, that shit becomes even more imperative that you have those laying around. Yeah. So when you make other moves and you're like, you know, I might be able to sneak a third out of this guy. You got to fucking do it. You got to get that extra third. That way you can go get a Jacoby Brissett fill-in, right? You can go get, you know, what do they call him? Joe Blacko this week. Like, well, you can, I mean, do that kind of shit and keep that QB2 spot churning.
Look, even, especially if you're embracing it kind of like the same as the any running back on a 53 almost. Like, mm-hmm. Carson Wentz was almost universally not really owned. Like, he's a true...
Yep.
As gross as it is and as horrible as it was watching him for two of those weeks, across those 5 weeks, he probably wasn't that bad, honest to God, especially if you are getting him off the waiver wire. I think he had a top 10 week in there too. So, like, I think to your point, though, I'm with you on the fan. And this is what I'd say. If you don't have draft picks or you've kind of spent some, especially I look at draft picks and the idea behind what you're talking about there. I want to have dangle pieces, right? So maybe it's Kyle Williams types. Maybe it's, you know, sophomores that are like, they got some name, but
yeah,
Bashaw Tootin, those type of players that, okay, hey, listen, if they hit, great. You've got some, you know, upside. Maybe you could trade that away. But even if they don't, that needs to act as your third. You need to kind of take a little bit of a loss to move on to get on some quarterbacks. But I think being really stingy and with your fab and maybe acquiring some fab cheaply in some trades gives you a chance to really honestly have a decent shot at just surfing the fucking waiver wire, honestly, sometimes too, you know?
To your point about that one, I would say then you also need to be more aggressive when those times come, because I'll find myself even like this past week, Davis Mills, you know, starting for CJ Stroud.
Perfect example. He's another guy that was universally not necessarily that highly owned, right?
You're going to make that fucking generic, I did it all over the place. And you end up getting outbid, right? But you have to be more aggressive on your bids for those kind of guys, right? Those have to be the first fucking priority for you almost every single week, because you're going to miss some. You're going to get a backup quarterback who goes in and dog shit. Like, doesn't do anything for you. You will hit those warp weeks.
For sure.
If you keep shooting your shot at him.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that's interesting is I think actually this would be worth another follow-up, doing some digging on this, because we might have to get some patrons to help us out with some of this. I would venture to say, too, especially, Mike, across a lot of leagues, in best ball, Davis Mills becomes available. Everyone's kind of going to try to bid on him because it's literally a player that's going to start, right?
Mm-hmm.
In lineup, I'd venture to say in certain lineup leagues, there's 8-10 teams that don't even bid on Davis Mills, even though he's going to start. Because they're like, he's going to start for 1 or 2 weeks. Who gives a fuck?
Right.
You're not going to play him.
Yep.
So in lineup leagues, even where I'm with you, aggressive, but maybe you can actually just kind of cheaply get through this until, or if people start realizing like, oh, maybe there's something here streaming this. Because like you're talking about Carson Wentz and Davis Mills literally were, you know, probably out there for nothing. So let's even say you had to spend 20% of your fab. You still have a ton of money left.
Yep. Well, and then you add on to it, right? Jacoby Brissett.
Yep.
Marcus Mariota.
Yep. And these guys, even if they're, let's say they're owned, they're probably traded for a fourth or a throw in, a fifth, whatever.
Mac Jones.
And Mac Jones, see, that those are some of the cases. Mac Jones, a perfect example of a guy you probably bought thinking it's Wentz.
Yep.
But all of a sudden, he's playing how many weeks? I mean, he's been your spot start that turned into half the season.
Well, and this week, you know, Jameis Winston, which I just made a, it's funny we're doing the trade show. I just made a trade for Jameis Winston. Again,
I'm thinking about doing one. What'd you trade it for?
Fourth.
That's what I've actually, I lobbed in there. He wants another fourth and I'm.
Yeah, fuck it.
I'm about to say yes, but I also want to play hardball just because I know no one else is buying.
Yeah, that's fair too. Right. But I think if you know, proverbially loosen your asshole a little bit on some of these quarterbacks and play like kind of how you're talking with these throw-ins or whatever. Listen, I don't need to hit every single one of them, but if I hit a couple of them, like this is how I'm going to build my teams, right? Maybe I only focus on one quarterback or one kind of solid quarterback, and the rest of them, we play musical chairs. The any RB on a 53, we're doing the fucking any QB2 on 53.
And you know what's crazy about this is the beauty of it for the running back position and even like a warp tight end life, it's honestly the same principle, just applying it to this position is... Mm-hmm. You know what the problem is with having a quarterback court? Mike, I got to find out between every week, between my 4 or 5 starters, who I'm playing. You know what ends up happening? At least for me, I'm not good enough on start sit. I'm not the 80% plus. So you know what happens? I'm playing Caleb Williams in the 2 weeks he fucking is, you know, quarterback 25. And then I'm sick of him. He goes quarterback 1 when I put Daniel Jones in. He's turned into a pumpkin. if you got go this route, you all right, you know what? I don't really have that many options. I'm going to put Davis Mills in this week. Fuck it. And you know what happens? Guy has a good week. You basically just start playing the your value at the position is so minimal, though, because all you're doing is investing probably in all the other spots, because you have a opportunity to start between Davis Mills and Jacoby Brissett and your quarterback too. So I think it's the same mindset of embracing it, whether it's the running back, the quarterback, the tight end. You could probably get away with doing it at all of it, but you know, you probably want to pick your spots. You don't want to have a shitty team at all three of those positions.
I think to let's put a bow on it for the episode. I mean, I didn't anticipate that we were going to spend an hour damn near talking just about quarterbacks, but I love it. I love it. We brought up some good points here. I think for me, Adam,
we might have to do a two-parter. We might have to do it and come back to it. Yeah.
I think to put a bow on it for me, I think if I'm in a contender, like some of those deals that you put out there for Jalen Hurts, with the way the quarterbacks are, I'm strongly considering down tiers, especially if I can get a good upgrade at a skill position, a significant one in warp. You know, use the warp tool, figure out what is going to be a pretty significant upgrade for you. If that is in the cards, fucking do it. No question. I also think for pick liquidity here heading into trade deadlines, or, you know, a lot of leagues we play, we don't have one. If I'm a contender going into the playoffs, I would love to have some extra first laying around, right? Yep. To go buy, especially when I need it, when we have the most amount of information available. It's me versus Adam in the semis. I need to win this shit. And if I've got
that, I want that first, man. Yeah.
If I got a first laying around and Adam doesn't, you know, that's
like
Mike.
It's like Mike
up.
Has a Joker card, you know.
Yeah, it's a trump card. You know, it's like playing fucking euchre, and you got the left bower.
I'm looking at Mike's lineup and my lineup side by side, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, three players could be inserted here. Oh no.
Yeah, I think on rebuilders, I'm more hesitant, especially to trade away anything kind of significant as far as draft capital, early picks, to go buy these quarterbacks. Even the Konami ones that I love and I anticipate a bounce back next year, I would rather just wait. Let's get to the offseason. Let's get to rookie season. Let them continue to be devalued, right? No need to buy now because I think it's going lower.
And I think the big reason why I would probably stay away from it is because the cost of doing that is going to be people that are contending, trying to have their cake and eat it too.
Yep.
Which is what we're trying to do in this scenario where it's like, hey, I want to get Stafford in a first or Dak in a first. What I don't want to do on my rebuilder right now is help somebody else contend and consolidate. I mean, outside of rare scenarios, I'm not saying I wouldn't do it for obviously a huge dub, but a lot of times that's where you get in trouble, right? And I don't want to do it potentially at a position that's fragile as far as market.
And I think the last bow point, you know, for the long game, you brought up some good points about maybe we need to adjust some of our roster construction going forward on how we approach quarterbacks in Superflex. Because, listen, we got 2 years now, this year being hell of a lot worse than last year. But even last year, you know, looking at that graph, there were some big wins in there. There were some big, found this dude off the waiver wire, or the Matt Stafford types, the Jared Goffs, the Baker Mayfields of the world that produced and put points up that you didn't have to pay a whole hell of a lot for. Right, like you didn't. Right. They were easily obtainable through almost the entirety of the season, right? So maybe we adjust our roster construction a little bit. Adam, I'm praying for a big bounce back in the quarterback because you know how big of a quarterback guy I am. But sure.
Right,
I don't. Looking at it too, the final bull point is, I don't see it coming this year. Like I just don't see it with all the heavy hitters out, with all the rushing quarterbacks being down across the board, even the guys who we consider mobile. Daniel Jones ain't really running, right? Baker Mayfield ain't really running. The guys who are supposed to be running, they're running, but not to the clip that we've seen in the past. And then we're down so many heavy hitters, whether it's bad situation or actually injury and just not playing, that it's going to be damn near impossible to keep up with what these skill guys, what the JSNs, the Jonathan Taylors, the Bijans, the Jahmyr Gibbs, the Christian McCaffreys are doing every single fucking week. And that's not even throwing in, you know, a guy like Trey McBride, who's absolutely nuking the tight end position right now and being a legend in his own right. It just pushes these quarterbacks into a giant pool of, listen, we ain't separated that much from a Josh Allen to a Sam Darnold in all seriousness on warp. Why the fuck am I holding, you know, this kind of asset? And I don't see a giant rebound where that separates too much for the rest of the year.
Right. I mean, it would be worth it, you know, to have Josh Allen's warp compared to Sam Darnold, but not anywhere near what the market is. So it's kind of settling in to see what the market difference would end up being on those assets. But you look across the board, it's like, dude, man, just when you look at warp and you think about the cost of acquisition for some of these quarterbacks, you're like, dude, oh my God. Now, granted, we can't see the future, but as far as like which ones are going to pop off every year, but it's just a, to me, it's just an alternate reality that's becoming something we probably have to realize is some people are going to be playing this. We want to probably get ahead of it. And also I think we'll have to really, I think on the off season, I want to wait to see in the off season what it really does, but we might have to take some, you know, real evaluation of, okay, what are these quarterbacks costing? Is it worth trying to move on from them, or should we be buying into some of them, you know?
Like here's the final one. I'll show you just the warp per game graph, right?
And this is where the spot start quarterback is going to be littered, I bet.
I mean, we're talking, let's just stick to the top 12. Caleb, you paid for. Daniel Jones, you did not. Right? Jalen Hurts, you paid for. Drake May, you paid for. Jacoby Brissett, you certainly fucking did not.
That warp graph got him in the conversation for long-term quarterback, you know?
Dak Prescott, easily obtainable. Josh Allen, you paid for. Jackson Dart, you did not.
Certainly.
Before people go, hey, you had to pay for Jackson
Dart. In a shitty class, he was going in the second round sometimes.
Exactly. Lamar Jackson, you paid for. Patrick Mahomes, you paid for. But the top two guys in warp per game, Joe Flacco, Matthew fucking Stafford, Adam. Like, this is the QB conundrum. So when you're talking about that strategy of, hey, maybe be more fluid at the quarterback spot. I get Jacoby Brissett and I get him for a fourth and I start him this fucking week in my QB two part. I capture the warp, which a lot of people won't be able to, but I capture the warp. And listen, I'm capturing the warp at a fucking clip that's better right now than Drake May, who's on an MVP fucking tour.
And that's the thing, I guess, like it'd be kind of interesting to see if you could curate one. Like you have to go do it on your own, but like,
yep.
What did I capture when I'm looking at some of my teams where, you know, multiple of these teams in Superflex right now, Mike, I'm looking at, you know, deciding Mahomes. I literally have a team right now, contender. Mahomes, Lamar, Dak, Stafford. Greatest Stafford's been, I guarantee you I haven't gotten that number two out of him, right? Because I'm not starting in that many weeks.
One of my favorite episodes on this network, by the way, if you're listening to this one, please do us a favor. Like and rate and review this podcast feed. But one of the favorite ones that's ever been on here hasn't been done by us. But Koopa at the end of the year looked at A-Warp tight end life, and he ran the hypothetical of guys that were available going off of Eric's waiver wire pod, which comes out every single week.
Dude, that might be my favorite podcast that I've listened to on here.
Eric also recommends quarterbacks, right, in Dynasty, in deeper formats to go pick these guys up, right? The Jacoby Brissetts of the world. It's going to be Joe Blacko, Jameis Winston. He's going to be on that one. Davis Mills last week, I heard Eric recommend, you know, go out, sniff the market, put a bid in on him.
Carson Wentz. Right?
Yep, Carson Wentz. One of my favorite episodes was Koopa did that with tight ends just based off of that. And if he ran this A-Warp tight end life, Koopa, if you're listening to this one, right? I hope you are. You listened this far. But we'll serve it up on a platter. Maybe Koopa goes back and he does this with quarterbacks. And he calls it his A-Warp quarterback. Like, what could you have gotten by with low to minimally valued quarterbacks to start the season with, and then every single week, if you would have went out and you would have listened to Eric and picked these quarterbacks up and started them that fucking week, what your end-of-season warp would have been relative to guys who paid a shit ton for Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, you know, Jaden Daniels, those kinds, right? And I would imagine you don't even have – and he does such a good job when he did that A-Warp title. He wasn't taking every hit, right?
No.
He wasn't taking every hit. He used
a very modest tight end usage of which ones you got – credit
which ones you got and which ones you would have started that week, right? And if he were to do that with quarterback Adam, I'm willing to bet at the end
this
of the
year
day,
would be pretty nice.
This year you would have worked out pretty fucking good, especially if you put your emphasis in the skill positions and not the quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it'll be interesting to see what happens if the market gets too crazy, but yeah, I mean, mind blowing.
We got to stop doing this kind of shit on this podcast, right? Like, we killed second round picks, you know, a couple months ago.
I think you muted halfway, unintentionally. Or was it me? I can't hear you.
I think it was you, buddy. It was all you. I'm still talking.
That's awesome. My camera just twitched, too. This is amazing.
Look at that.
I don't know what the hell's going on.
Well, that's all right. We'll leave it in. Let's see if you can hear it or I get the audio at the end. But thanks, everybody, for tapping in. We'll catch you next time, 40 Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. We are out of this thing.
I can hear nothing. Put you up and hide you on the shelf, I swear I'm through with you. You so hard to leave it alone, it's always something new with you. Ain't nowhere to get her gone. So I guess I'm gonna tie one on. She's so cold, I had to go and pour you over ice. Way he got me locked down, you think whiskey was my wife.
my whiskey friends, and I'm tired of it, tired of it.